Hello and welcome to Trust and Evil.
I'm Bryony.
And I'm Sam.
And we're on episode 39.
Yeah, we don't get it right every week, but we're pretty sure it's 39 this week.
And not only that, what have we got?
Dum dum dum!
A new
microphone!
That's taken us about 3 hours to try and set up.
So 2 hours and three... 2 years and 3 hours.
Yeah, so if anybody complains about the fucking sound...
Suck it.
Go fuck your mum.
Jesus, that was harsh.
No, that, yeah, because...
Well, no, it's been a...
2 hours of my life.
It's been a mission, hasn't it?
And then we plugged it into the original source and it worked straight away.
Yeah, we had to get my 15-year-old to come down and help us.
That was hard. It was hard work.
Yeah, so that's the story of our night so far.
Of Jack and Ori.
Yeah.
Whose case is it?
My case. What are you doing?
She's stomach just went.
Do you know what? She's pulling faces at me. She's doing weird stuff. She's farting, which we might actually catch now we have a microphone.
Yeah,
so.
I've got the farts proper bad.
Yeah.
It's because I'm on a diet and I'm eating loads of protein.
Yeah, that's the story she's sticking to anyway.
Honestly, it is. It makes me fart like no end.
No end. Overshare.
Everything's coming out of that end.
TMI.
Right, get on with your case.
Okay.
Oh, no, we need to actually say why we weren't here for a few weeks.
Oh, just because we're royally shit, I think, is the truthful answer.
No, we were supposed to record and I had a sickness bug, but yeah. I don't know if it's food poisoning or sickness bug, but I'm ever so ill. And if it is, well, to be fair, I couldn't have drove, I was too ill.
Yeah.
And then you
last
had a migraine.
Week, I had a migraine.
And then this week we're here.
Yeah. After a faff.
But we have got three cases. Now, I thought we would do this case, release it today, and then because we've been arseholes... We'll release a case next week and a case the week after. So we'll do 3 weeks on the bounce.
Okay, I can get on board with that.
And I'm doing two really good cases.
Yeah.
One of them is Lucy Letby.
Oh.
But obviously I haven't covered it all because she's still in trial.
Yeah.
But be really careful what I say.
Interesting.
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 So we'll see if people want Lucy Letby next week or the week after.
Yeah, let us know.
Let us know.
Facebook. Trust and Evil. It's what?
I said Instagram that I haven't got.
I feel like we just got to give up on the old Instagram
for
a minute.
No, I had it logged in. I've got it. I can log it all back in. It's just I'm not doing it on this phone, so I'm getting a new phone.
Okay.
I'm not logging into anything.
Who's been listening for a long time? How long has she been saying this for?
No, I logged us back in.
Oh, okay.
And then I lost that phone one night after coming home from here.
Yeah, never to be seen again.
I can't find it. Gone. I literally cannot find it anywhere.
Gone, gone, gone.
Right, let's go.
So, today I am going to tell you about a little girl named Beth. Beth Thomas. So, I watched a documentary on her called Child of Rage, and it absolutely blew my bloody mind. So, this is
where
quite...
Where can you find this documentary?
I found it on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
So, and that's where I got pretty... Well, not all of my information, but where I got most of the information from. So, big up to whoever made that documentary. I found it ages ago, to be fair, and I saved it, forgot completely about it, was thinking, what case do I do next? Come across this one, I was like, oh my God, I've been wanting to do this for ages.
Oh yeah, I always looked at your save shit.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I always go back and look at my cases that I've started, because if I think about a case, I'll start it, then I get bored, and then I go back to it, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, can you say ADHD? So anyway, this case is such a massive, massive example of this, just the significance of what being harmed as a child can do to you, what it leads to. You know, abuse, it often ends up in the abused person being an abuser. Not always, obviously not always, but that's a scientific thing.
Well,
that's not me making stuff up.
No,
that is a thing.
And you think if you were raised by somebody that was always shouting, always hitting you, blah, 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 and say both your parents were like that, you then think that's acceptable.
It's normal.
You don't see how other people live, really, unless you stay around other people's houses.
Yeah, and you're not taught any other way, are you?
No.
You're not taught coping strategies, you're not...
And let's face it, teachers at school are assholes. Like, if you're a teacher and you listen, I'm really sorry, but majority of teachers are assholes. Like, don't get me wrong, they've got the hardest job in the world, but they speak to students like absolute shit.
Some.
And then they wonder why students do it back to them.
I think some do, but also the ones that don't often aren't supported enough.
No.
For whatever reason, funds, either a bad system, whatever it is.
They don't stick at the job maybe because they haven't got that to give it back.
No. And it does take a lot from them, like it does. It's got to be so frustrating being in a job where you can see what's wrong and you can't do
blow all to fix it. 100%. But yeah, if you're that person, that's all you see, you don't know any difference. Mm. That's just how you're brought up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just noticed you've got an egg on your mantelpiece. Is that someone looking after the egg?
That's last chance, Larry.
Yeah.
That is the egg my son's looking after at the moment to teach him how to be...
a dad?
Well, it's sort of how to be responsible.
Okay.
So he's got to be responsible
for
this egg.
I haven't seen him touch that egg once since I've been here.
No, that's just don't trust him with shit because he will ignore it. So that's last chance, Larry, because Barry was the first one who he smashed about 5 seconds after getting it.
I love doing that for my kids.
So yeah, Barry, RIP, this is last chance, Larry.
Is that his last chance? I'm not going to give him another egg.
Yeah, there's no more eggs after last chance, Larry.
Oh, Larry.
So anyway.
Should I take him home? See how long
you should. Just a bit.
Then I get Finny to like send him a picture. When he's like that.
Oh my god, we're so doing that.
We're such horrible parents.
I was just thinking how great we are. I mean, it's got to be a valuable lesson in there somewhere, isn't there?
What, don't leave things around to find or steal it? Yes. Kayla will be like, see, I told you.
I feel like you're in his life quite often, so I feel like he should know this about you.
True.
Valuable lessons all around.
Very true.
Anywho, back to the case. So there is going to be quite a lot of audio in here because the documentary has audio of the little girl speaking, Beth speaking. I can't do it any more justice than she says it herself. So I find it's just easier to do it that way. So again, thank you to this documentary because I got it all from there. So I thought what I'd do now is give you a bit of Beth's story and then I'll play the interview of her in the format that the documentary does because it is in order.
Okay.
So Tim, who was at the time a minister of the Methodist Church in the south of, sorry, I butchered that completely, Methodist Church in the south of America, and his wife Julie had been married for 12 years. So now Tim and Julie had a good life, but unfortunately, for whatever reason, they couldn't have children of their own, and it just wasn't on the cards for them, but they still wanted a family.
Okay.
So Tim said that although they didn't need children to complete their family, they felt that they had a lot to offer. And even if that child wasn't biologically theirs, they just wanted to sort of give. So they started the adoption process. And in February of 1984, their prayers were answered. And they received a call saying not only did they have one child, but they had two children that were looking for a loving home. So this was music to Tim and Julie's ears. Of course, they accepted it. They saw it as a gift from God. And they looked forward to the day that they could bring these two little ones home and start their new family together. So wouldn't it be good? So Julie said that it happened really, really quickly and it just seemed like it was a miracle. They really did think it was a gift from God. That's not me saying those words. He's a minister. They really thought this was just sort of meant to be.
Oh, yeah, they will believe that. That's great for them.
Yeah.
That's what they believe.
Yeah, and they do. I mean, you know, I've never met these people. I don't know what they're like, but they seem like sort of the earth type people.
Right. Oh, so they're not the abusers?
No.
Good way to slag them off then, isn't it?
No. These are good people.
I have loads of stuff in my head.
Listen to the story first.
Sorry about that.
The children were sister and brother, Beth, who was 7, and Jonathan, who was 19 months old. Now, Tim and Julie were told that the children were happy and healthy and that they just really could not wait to start their family as well. So the kids were ready, Julie and Tim were ready, everything's a go, good times. So after welcoming Beth and Jonathan into the home, it became abundantly clear to both Julie and Tim that both children were suffering severely with emotional problems. Beth particularly exhibited some strange and very disturbing behaviour. Now, I'm very conscious of my pages being turned here. We do have a new microphone, so if you hear it more, it's just the way life is.
Get that new microphone in there again.
Yeah, new microphone. So, it was only after a couple of months of Tim and Julie having the little ones that they learnt a little bit of what had happened to the kids beforehand.
Yeah, because a lot of times you don't get that until afterwards, which is terrible, really.
And I don't honestly know, A, this is America, and B, this was back in 84. So I don't know what the laws and what you could find out, what you couldn't find out then. I'm not sure, but I know it's not, probably wasn't the greatest because it isn't now, is it?
No. I was going to say, like, when me and Tim looked at it, you don't find out till after. Well, sometimes you will, but a lot of times you don't.
Yeah.
And then...
I think there's so many different things around it. It's just nothing's guaranteed, is it? And even so, I know there are cases where you're told one thing and it's been completely different.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, very true.
You know, who knows? But anyway, they found out that the children's birth mother had passed away when Beth was around a year old. A bit older, but around a year. And both were left in the custody of the father. So, sadly, both Jonathan and Beth were the victims of really, really horrendous abuse caused by the biological parents. Well, father, that we know definitely, not a lot said about the mother, other than she's died.
Oh, I see what you mean. Sorry, I was like, with stepmom then, but no, I see what you mean. Right, yeah. Okay, yeah.
So, when social services went to the home before they got adopted,
yeah,
they found Jonathan left in a dirty nappy and a urine-soaked cot with really old bottles of curdled milk that had just been left in there by his feet. He wasn't in a good way. He was left in the cot for such prolonged periods of time that the back of his head was flat. Have you ever seen that before?
My neighbours, when I lived in that flat, got a child taken away because of that. And I'll tell you what, honestly, she was so tiny, and I never get the sign right. So my kids were like, can we have some crisps? And I can never give one without giving the other.
No.
So I gave her a packet of crisps, right? And she's eating them absolutely fine. She was tiny, man. And she was eating them absolutely fine. And then we sort of went outside in the garden. I didn't really want to go outside, but they were just there. And we went outside in the garden. And he sat and ate literally all of her crisps. And I'm thinking, she was quite really enjoying them. It's probably the first thing she said to fucking eat.
Yeah.
And I was just like, are you joking? And then they knocked on my door and they were like, social workers are involved. They're saying we leave her in the cot, rah, rah, rah. And I'm thinking, I'm pretty sure you fucking do.
Yeah.
I mean, and they often they both go out, and I'm thinking, where's the kid?
Yeah. You think all newborn babies are laid down most of the time, even if you're the best parent, but not all newborn babies get that flat appearance to their head. So that
goes
to show.
Some are born with it, though, aren't they? And they have to wear those helmets, don't they?
There are different reasons, to be fair, but generally it's there's a reason.
Back,
yeah.
Like right there, and I know what you mean.
Yeah. So Jonathan also had such little muscle function that he could hardly move. Like, even just lifting arms up and things like that was a struggle for the little tyke. It was evident that both children were not being fed anywhere near the amount of what would be appropriate for a grown child. And, I mean, let's be fair, it's not that much. I mean, it feels a lot when you're up doing night feeds and stuff. Yeah. But the actual amount that they're taking,
and it's milk
not. Yeah, and I mean, obviously for Beth it was food, but it's still not massive amounts.
No.
So
was he an alcoholic or anything, though, the dad?
I don't know. I can't remember it was about a month ago I wrote this now, so I can't remember. But if he was, if it said in the documentary, I will have put it in here somewhere. Okay. So it soon became clear that, sadly, that just wasn't the worst of the abuse that the kids suffered. So Beth would wake up in the night after having really horrible nightmares in which she said there was a man that kept falling on her and hurting her with a part of himself. Obviously, she was little, she didn't quite have the language, but you know, that's not good, is it?
And this is how you know children are telling the truth, because they don't understand what they're saying.
No, they're just telling you what they know.
Yeah, in facts, you know, they're giving you the facts.
Yeah.
It might not be in a correct manner, but they're saying, somebody's fallen on me, and it hurt me.
Yeah.
Where did it hurt you? Oh, here.
I know of a case where they said, the little girl said that her stepdad punched her in the vagina. Obviously, he wasn't. He was doing much worse. I don't say much worse, because that's awful, isn't it? But to her, he was punching her.
Yeah.
And you just think, this poor little... Oh, God, it just...
Describe it, yeah.
Oh, turns my tummy, and I just want to kill the people that do this. I really do. Due to the magnitude of the abuse and neglect that the children suffered psychologically, they said that Beth didn't form a sense of love, trust, or you know, anything like that. She just, it wasn't that she was incapable of it, she just never had it to form.
I was watching a documentary on this little baby, and it was like on YouTube, and they did this mum that sort of went in, and it was like, I don't know, like 6 months old in a high chair, and she was like interacting with it, giving it stuff, and then the mum went in, sort of like placed like dinner down or whatever, and was like interacting with it, feeding with it, you know, like talking to it. And then she went in again, for like, it was obviously another meal, but like a couple of hours later, put the food down and just sat there, but just didn't communicate at all with the baby.
Mm.
And you can tell, like, the whole baby's demeanor is just like, doesn't know what to do.
No.
It has no clue on how to even interact with the mother, even though they've done it like a few hours before with the mum. It's just sat there like not even eating, like
There have been studies as well that show, especially in monkeys, that they will choose younger, well, humans in general will choose nurture over food and stuff like that. Yeah, they see the nurture at such a young age as so important. There was a study years ago, I think I might have mentioned it on here before, where they had a monkey, little baby monkey, and they'd feed it at whatever time, da 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 da, and then they, but it had no interaction whatsoever. And then they put this, it wasn't a pretend monkey, but something wrapped in fur.
Yeah.
And of course, this monkey thought it was something and loved it so much it would pick to cuddle this fur thing out of being fed.
Yeah.
Because it just wanted that connection bad.
Yeah.
So it just, you know.
Shouldn't you use monkeys to perform tests?
No, this was years ago. I can't that. Remember. Well, they, yeah, for sure. But I can't remember when this test was done, but I know it was a long time ago. So yeah, Beth also, she didn't develop a conscience and or anything like that. She just didn't child right, you know, mm-hmm. how a loving child would, how a loved child would,
and
should
also,
I say.
You've got to remember as well, like the nature and nurture thing, as soon as you're made, you're taking, they now know that you take obviously like connections from your mum. So like if she's sad, you feel sad. If she's happy, you feel happy. And it depends what she was like, what mental state she was in.
Yeah.
Do you know what you mean? Because if you're in a really bad mental state.
And it does, I mean, I don't know, but it doesn't sound like they were in the best situation. No. If the mum was a good mum or an okay mum, it doesn't sound she was in the best of situations anyway.
No.
So as you would expect, the ramifications of this sort of neglect was completely, completely humongous. So Beth would demonstrate extremely inappropriate sexual behaviour, and this was exhibited mostly towards Jonathan. The need...
Jonathan is a stepdad now.
No, Jonathan's her little brother.
Oh, sorry, okay.
So, I mean, although this case has pretty much been awful from start till now, I am going to put a trigger warning into this bit for quite a lot of the rest of the case, actually.
basically, if you've listened now and you trigger warning anyway, just see
you
later.
Yeah, bye. Because this goes into some of the abuse, and the clips are Beth talking about some of it. So, yeah, if it's not for you, just don't go any further. Right, so that one out of the way. So, Julie, after hearing that Jonathan was crying one time, she entered the room to find both children, and Jonathan had his pants down. So when Julie asked Beth what happened, Beth told her that she had been hurting him on his penis and putting her finger into his anus. Right, so Beth then told Julie that even when Jonathan wanted her to stop, she didn't stop. And this is Beth saying all this. This isn't, it's quite freely she's admitting all this.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because she doesn't see anything wrong with this.
No.
This is just normal.
Just life.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just so sad.
And I imagine she's like, he has hurt me like that, so I'm going to go and hurt somebody else like that. It's weird, isn't it? Because I wonder if she... Because you think she knew how much it hurt. Then maybe she was jealous of her brother.
Maybe jealous. Maybe it's her way of expressing love. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? She's just not been taught any different.
Yeah.
So also, Beth would masturbate, which can be a normal thing for small children. That is a real thing.
Yeah.
You know, feels nice. They don't understand it. So why not do it? But she would do it so much that she had to be taken to see the doctor because she was harming herself significantly. Which that isn't common in children. Children do it because it feels nice and that's all they understand.
Yeah.
When it's hurting them and causing them injury, that's they don't usually tend to keep on doing things.
Yeah.
So Beth would also hurt Jonathan and family pets. So a thing like she'd do was stick pins into the pets and Jonathan. And she said that the goal of this was to kill them. That was why she wanted to do it. So,
and the thing is, once you've adopted them, you can't just give them up.
I think you can, depending on the situation.
I don't know, but there was a case I was listening to, and it's a film, it's a real case. So you know the film about the little girl that wasn't actually a little girl? She was
Yeah.
So that's like based on a real case.
Yeah.
And they basically set her up with, they said, right, we're off now, we're going away. Set her up with an apartment, because they had two people analyse her and say she was like 18 or whatever. Set her up with, or 17 or whatever, set her up with apartments, said, because we'll support you for a year, then off you go. And now the person that's taken her in, they're suing the family because actually she was 17, even though doctors have said she was younger than 17, they still knew she was 17 and still left her.
Mm.
And because they'd adopted her, she's legally their child, yeah. so they have to support her. They can't just leave her. Mm. I don't know if it's just in state by state.
Yeah, and I don't know if there's like a time period where you. I just don't know.
For me.
But also, I guess if you know you're a bad parent and you want to give the child up, you're within your rights to do that. But yeah. there's a real ways of going around it, just ditching them.
Yeah, and also, sorry, you're allowed to give a child up as a parent. So if you adopt them, surely, like you say, you are allowed to be like, this isn't for me.
But there are right ways of going around it. You can't
and
just...
And they wouldn't want to take her back, really, with all these problems.
No.
I doubt.
No.
It sounds awful, but they wouldn't.
No, because the system, again, it's overrun and it's hard to find care for, I want to put inverted commas, normal kids.
Let alone children problems.
With big issues, because there's just not many people out there that will willingly take those kids on.
Because some
will, for sure, but it's frigging hard. Mm-hmm. Bloody hard.
I know a lady that I started working for, bless her, and she adopted, she's got four children, and they've all got additional needs. Some of them are really high. They didn't know this when they adopted them. They adopted them from quite young. I think the oldest was like one, maybe. But they've all got additional needs, quite high additional, two of them have got quite high additional needs. Mm. And she's like, four of them, she was like, and they've all got additional needs.
Yeah.
Like, my life is really hard.
Yeah.
And I feel so sorry for you. Like, do you know what I mean? Because I just think, like, you've wanted children, you've adopted four children.
Yeah.
And now you're going to, like, one of them, she's like, he's going to have to stay here forever.
Yeah.
We're going to have him here forever.
Well, we both have kids, don't we, with additional needs? But it's quite mild, especially my son is very mild. And it's hard.
Yeah.
It's bloody hard. So big up to anyone that's dealing with anything like
especially
that.
Especially high additional needs.
Yeah.
It's like, takes over your whole life.
Yeah.
They are your life.
Yeah. And they are probably for a big period of your life, if not ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So well done to those of you well done to all parents in general, to be fair, but well done especially to those bringing up children with significant or different needs. So, anywho, so Beth also came across a bird nest with little baby birds in it. So she got hold of the nest, but at that point she was found by her parents. So hoping that it was just sort of a curiosity thing, Beth's interest was piqued. Her parents sort of took her and explained to her that the birds were really small and they were fragile, and that interfering with them could cause the mummy and daddy birds not to come back, and that could be bad for the birds because then they wouldn't have, you know, the mummy and daddy feeding them, and, you know, just tried to explain it in a very kid-like way so she'd get it. The next day, however, led by Beth, Julie found the baby birds on the floor. All of them had their necks broken. So, yeah. Just awful, awful, awful. Not just awful, you know, it's so worrying. It's got to be sickening for Julie. Like, especially after they took the time to explain that to her and it seemed that she just didn't care.
Yeah.
So Beth's behaviour was not only a big cause of concern, but it was taking its toll on the family, as we said it does.
Oh, and can you imagine? You'd just be like... And I imagine they just felt so sorry for her little brother because she's abusing him.
Yeah. And he took the brunt of it. You know, it was taking its toll, especially on Jonathan. And obviously, you have a duty of care because you've got two kids here. It's not just Beth with her problems.
Yeah.
They have to protect Jonathan as well.
Yeah, yeah. And he's obviously just sort of toddling along, doing all right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and they did get him young enough where maybe they could make a serious impact on his life. Is Beth a lost cause? I don't know what I do in this situation. I really don't.
I'd run away from home.
Yeah, right. So Jonathan started to complain very often that he had a sore tummy. So worried, obviously, Julie and Tim, his now parents, began to suspect that he was suffering with some medical issues because they didn't really have medical background on them.
I bet they didn't have any medical background, really.
And, you know, anything can just come to fruition anyway, can't it? Even without medical background and whatnot. So they really thought that something was going on with him. So the issue that he was suffering, we know now, was because Beth would hurt him in that area. She'd punch him often. She'd do all sorts of things to him. But the tummy was one of the areas that she focused on. So at a loss of how to prevent Beth from hurting and abusing Jonathan, Julie and Tim resorted to locking Beth in her room at night by tying the door shut and barricading her in.
Which is terrible, but at the same time...
Needs must.
Yeah.
They have to protect Jonathan. If you say it just randomly, I ought to just lock my kids in my bedroom bedroom for no reason, it's awful. But in this case, I have to say, what else could they do?
Yeah, exactly.
What else could they honestly do? So I don't...
Because I wouldn't put it past her to kill him.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
No, well, she said already, yeah. The purpose of doing all this is to kill the birds, to kill the little brother, you know.
Yeah.
So I, you know, I think that if that's what you had to do to keep everyone safe, that's what you had to do. So they even put alarms around the house so they knew if Beth got out of her bedroom, which again, I don't blame them. I do
which
not blame
them. Which is terrible, though.
It's awful that they had to do that.
And social services weren't helping them at all now then. They just sort of like, there you go.
I know there was help later.
Right.
But at this
maybe
point...
Maybe they didn't want to get him involved, neither. Maybe, because you sort of... You try and do the best, don't you?
Yeah.
You don't want to admit that...
Yeah. And again, it's 84. Although things were getting better then, it wasn't at the level it is now. And even now, it's crap. So there's that to consider as well. So, even with all the love and care and the nurturing that Julie and Tim showed towards Beth, she was just unable to control her rage, and she would take it out on the whole family, herself included. So, over time, instead of getting better, Beth's behaviour escalated and it became ever crueler and just completely fucking sinister, to be honest. Then one day, Julie noticed that some of the paring knives that she had in the kitchen had gone missing.
Dum,
dum, dum.
Lock your knives away. If you're going to lock her in a bedroom, lock your freaking knives away.
Yeah.
I would, that's for sure. Do you know what I mean?
But I guess it's things that you just... You've got to think about so much with this. Maybe it's just something that was just a quick, you know, didn't think about it until it was gone. So, Julie's first thought was that Beth had them. And she was immediately filled with guilt for thinking that of Beth automatically.
You do, though, with your children, don't you?
Yeah.
You think they've done something wrong, you automatically feel guilty for thinking that, even though you know they've done it.
Yeah.
Say,
you want to think the best, don't you?
Try and come up with different scenarios.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, no, maybe I like misplaced.
Yeah.
It.
And you want to go, but she's seven, you know? Like, really? She's seven. So, this to me, and everything that's gone on so far, it just demonstrates the level of love and commitment that Julie and Tim had for them, both of Beth and Jonathan, because it's. I just don't know. I'd love to say that I'd be like they were, but I don't know. I honestly don't know. This might be too much.
Especially if it was adopted children.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, maybe they waited and they loved them, like, so much. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That you've got that... I don't know. I've never adopted a child.
And I guess they have that faith in God as well, which might help. God will provide and all that.
Yeah.
Where someone like me and you don't quite have that, so it's...
Faith in my brain to get me through the next hour of my life.
I don't even have much faith in that, to be
Sam,
fair.
Especially when we try and sort stuff out and she's got a phone on really loud. I was like, you should turn it down, turn it off. Turn it off, by the way.
Yeah, which I was actually trying to find the bits for this, so I'm going to have to do that in a minute.
Ah, right. Okay. Sorry about that.
So, Julie just noted that the knives were gone, but she never challenged Beth on their whereabouts.
I wonder why, though.
I think probably given the benefit of the doubt, didn't want Beth to lie to her, I don't know, but she just sort of...
I mean, I would have done that, I think. I would have asked.
Yeah, I think I probably would have, but...
Unless she thinks, well, I've got a lock on my bedroom door, so I'll be all right.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Maybe that was a thought process. You know, they lock her in, they've got alarms going off, you know.
They can't watch him 24/7.
No.
Maybe they were, though, sort of, if you know what I mean. Maybe she just took, like, Jonathan everywhere with her.
Maybe.
I would.
I'd be tempted to. So then a couple of weeks go by and Beth sat at the table drawing and unexpectedly she came out with, what do those knives look like that are missing, Mum?
I'd be like that, well, you freaking know because you've got me a little shit, remember?
So yeah, this was totally sort of unprompted, just randomly came out with it. So Julie asked Beth, what knives? To which Beth replied, weren't they about this big, showing over their fingers how big she thought they were, and silver?
Absolutely not, no. Nope. They are spoons. This is silly.
So, Beth had a menacing smile on her face whilst asking all this sort of stuff about the knives. And in that moment, Julie completely realised that her fear and her gut reaction to where the knives were true, and Beth did have them. So, Julie knew that they would not have been taken for any, like, innocent reasons, just curiosity or whatever.
I mean, yes, basically, who takes a knife for an innocent reason?
Well, I think with sharp things and lighters, you know, kids do have a fascination with those sort of things. That's why we keep them away, you know, because they are tempted to play.
Yeah, that's true.
And also, at this point, Beth had tried to kill Jonathan on more than one occasion, and you know, she'd been very open about admitting that. So there had been one time that after hearing Jonathan screaming, Julie ran towards the little ones. You know, he was screeching, so she ran towards them.
But any time he cries, I'd be running towards him.
Yeah, under these circumstances, for sure. So she found Beth repeatedly smashing Jonathan's head into the concrete floor.
Oh, my God. How old was he then?
I don't know the exact age, but he, from this moment onwards, he's not loads older than 19 months old.
Okay. So maybe like 2.5,
yeah.
3.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. So Beth was so intent on killing him that Julie had to physically peel a crazed Beth from Jonathan, remove her, like she was that intent on getting him. So knowing all of this, Julie asked Beth where her knives were. So Beth sweetly told Julie that she didn't know. Oh. So by April 1989, so what's that, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, so this is 5 years. Beth's behaviour had become so malicious and unimaginable that nothing the Beth's parents did helped, not even the smallest amount. She was just getting worse. And the decision was made for Beth to get some real help and involve some experts. Now, I don't know if this was the first time anyone got involved or this was the first time they really went for specific help.
Okay.
I'd like to think it wasn't anyone got involved, but you just don't know.
Yeah.
And like I said, I don't know what help was like back then. I really don't.
No.
So, they found an expert who specialised in raising children with early attachment disorders, especially that caused harm to themselves or others, and ones that have even killed other people. There's a big thing, like therapy and psychology, like attachment disorders is different kinds. And it's how you're brought up, basically, how you receive love, give love, you know, if they act like children or grown-ups, how they were cared for. It's a big thing in the psychology world. So she understood that because Beth was unable to have any trust in others, that she would not accept anyone else's trust or to be the boss of her.
Uh-huh.
There was just no way Beth was going to have that. Not
yeah,
at all.
She was the boss.
Yeah.
And some
she had to be.
Some kids are like, yeah, you know, aren't they? Like, they are the boss and that's it. And you let them get away with it because it's easier.
Yeah. And in Beth's case, it wasn't just because she was a bit unruly. She'd had a ton of abuse.
Yeah, yeah.
So she told Julie and Tim that, well, this was the therapist or psychologist, whoever it was, lady. She told Beth and Tim that boundaries needed to be put into place.
Yeah, but I mean, there's boundaries being put into place, and then there's this child. I don't think you can put boundaries in place.
No,
now, I mean, how old is she now? Like 12? She was 7.
9, 10, 11, yeah.
12 years old, and you're trying to put boundaries in place now after she's done what she's done.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the abuse she's done on her brother.
Yeah.
You know, trying to kill in animals and stuff.
Yeah.
Which I feel like.
So I'm going to go into how harsh the boundaries sort of had to be. So this meant that Beth was not allowed to do anything without her parents' say so. And I'm talking about even things down to using the toilet, getting a drink, things like that. One of the reasons behind this, other than, you know, Beth's behaviour, was just because Beth herself couldn't be trusted. So suffering from the, like, awful atrocities and whatnot that Beth did in her first years of life, that taught Beth that she was worthless, she was awful, she was evil. And now the goal for them was to change that for Beth and show Beth that she was worthy of love and that she did have the ability to be loving. So this was a lengthy process, but after months of treatment, Beth showed signs of improvement, which, great, you know, brilliant. I think I would have lost hope by now. Beth did begin to accept and respond to affection shown to her, and she started understanding what was right and what was wrong and knowing when she was exhibiting and reacting to that. So with every bit of improvement that Beth showed, the tight leash that Tim and Julie had to have on her would be very gradually loosened, and eventually she was able to attend sort of mainstream school and do all the things that other children her age could do, but very, very, very slow process. So she began to develop friendships and joined the church choir, which was just such a feat for the family. They didn't think this would ever be possible.
Yeah.
So Beth grew to understand her situation and why she was like she was, and that it wasn't her fault, but it was the fault of her father, and not because she was a bad person, not because she deserved it. So Beth is, she done all the work, and it's, you know, was an ongoing process for a long time. But she is now a nurse, and she works in the neonatal ICU. She has authored two books which focus on her struggles with reactive attachment disorder, and it's all about how she overcame that. She also directs time and energy into finding sort of support groups and things and help other families facing similar situations, and into preventing more families from having to go through what Beth, Julie, Tim and Jonathan went through. So, Beth's life, due in big part to Julie and Tim never giving up on her and doing everything in their power to help her in every single way possible. Like, I can't say that enough. And also to her own commitment, has had a positive ending. And although her story had a greater impact on her mental health than some other children, as we spoke about earlier, there are no abused children that do not suffer in one way, shape or form as a result of what they went through. And a lot, too many times, they don't have the story that Beth had, because they don't have the support that she had.
Yeah, of course, yeah. I mean, imagine, these parents did amazing.
Yeah.
It's a shame they didn't get help before, but look how she's turned out.
Yeah. You know? So this is where I'm going to play the audio. So this is Beth's play therapy tapes of when she was 6.5 years old. So that does mean that she had the help, the interventions earlier. So this is her speaking to a psychologist, Dr. Ken Magid, M-A-G-I-D, however you want to pronounce that. And he is a specialist in severely abused children.
Do you ever stick pins in people?
Mm-hmm.
Who?
My brother.
Okay. Do you do it a little bit or a lot?
A lot.
Okay. And what are you trying to do to your brother?
Kill him.
Why do you want your brother to die?
Because I was hurt so bad, and I don't want to be around people.
Okay. Who else would you like to stick pins into?
Mommy and Daddy.
What would you like to have happen to them?
Die.
Tell me about your birth father. What was that nightmare like?
When he touched my vagina.
Okay.
Until it bled. Hurt it a lot until it bled. And, wouldn't feed me a lot. He'd hit on me. Wouldn't be very nice to me.
How old were you?
One.
And in your nightmare, what happens?
I get real scared.
Where are you in the nightmare? What happens in the dream?
I'm in the house, upstairs.
And then what happens, Beth?
When he comes upstairs and, hurts.
How do you feel when you talk about this?
Scared.
Does your brother have private parts?
Yeah.
What is his private parts?
Penis and butt.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do with your brother, with his private parts, Ben?
I heard it.
Tell me about it. What do you do?
Now, I pinch it. Squeeze it. Kick it.
When you do things to your brother's private parts, what does he say?
Stop.
Okay, tell me that.
Well, he says stop, but I don't stop.
Do you hurt him?
Mm-hmm. A lot.
Okay. And would you like to do that to other boys? Have you ever rubbed your private parts?
Mm-hmm.
Do you do it a lot?
A lot.
How much do you do that?
About every single day in Lexington. I did it every single day until it got real bad and I stopped and I had to go to the doctor and I did not like it.
What do you mean by real bad?
Well, it looked real raw. Got all kinds of boogers on it. Germs. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff on my hand.
And it bled?
Mm-hmm.
The animals, Beth?
Four of them.
Can you tell me their names?
Cloudy, Shooky, Darcy, and Annie. And Daddy said a day ago that there was a stray cat who did not have a home, so Daddy was taking care of it and took it to the vet when he had his flight to go.
And what do you do to the animals, Beth?
Stick them with pins.
Do you stick them a little bit or a lot?
A lot.
What are you trying to do to the animals, Beth?
Kill them.
What do they do when you stick them with the pins?
Well, Annie cries. She's a dog.
Let's talk about what happened once when you were smaller, when you found some baby birds in a tree. What did you do then?
I took them out.
Mm-hmm. And what did Mom say to you?
That the mother will not come back if somebody touches her baby.
Mm-hmm. Are the baby birds kind of small? Can you describe them for me?
Well, they don't have their eyes open, but they can hear me, and they look up.
Are they kind of helpless? Little baby birds? Can they fly?
No.
Can they run away?
Yes.
They can? Are they easy to catch or hard to catch?
Hard.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to remember. With the baby birds, what did you do?
Took them out of the tree.
And what did you do with them?
Played around too rough. Also, when at the end, I picked it up and I thought it was dead, and I came to say, Mommy, is this bird dead? And she said, she called Daddy and said, Tim? And, and Daddy came and, I think I remember that they said yes.
Mm-hmm. And so did the little baby birds die?
I don't know.
You don't remember?
I just remember that I think I remember that Mommy and Daddy said the last bird we got was dead.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what Mom said to me? She said that all of them were dead. Did you squeeze them? Did Baby Beth squeeze them? You're doing a good job, honey. Go ahead and tell me what happened.
I squeezed them.
And what happened?
They died.
Tell me about the knives. Where did you get them?
From the drawer.
And where else? Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about it.
I got them from the dishwasher.
What kind of knives?
Sharp ones.
And what do you want to do with those knives?
Kill John and Mommy with them, and Daddy.
And when Mommy asks you about where the knives are, what do you say?
I don't know where they are.
And just to put in, this bit is about the incident where she was hurting Jonathan.
Did you get real mad at him? Did you hit his head real hard? Tell me about it. How many times did you do it? A lot?
Mm-hmm.
What was the floor like?
Cement.
And what happened to your brother? Tell me about it.
His head hurt real bad. But his chin, he had to have stitches in it.
Could you stop? Use your words, Beth.
Okay.
Okay. What was your brother doing when you were doing this?
Playing with the toys.
Okay. Was he asking you to stop when you were doing it? What was he saying?
He was saying, Beth, stop.
And what did you do?
I didn't stop. I just kept on hurting him.
What were you thinking when you were doing that?
Thinking of killing him.
How did you stop? What made you stop?
When I heard Peter walking across the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
It made me stop because I thought Mommy and Daddy were coming.
Okay. Did Mommy come? What did she do?
She sent me to my room.
Okay. And what if Mom didn't stop you? What would you have done?
So that was the recordings of the psychologist interviewing Beth. There are more clips of Beth sort of after a lot of therapy and whatnot on the
YouTube.
Yeah, so you had the idea, which I think I will do. I will post the actual full documentary on our Facebook page, Trust and Evil. Go and have a look if you're interested. You know, there's a lot of interview with the parents and whatnot, more of the specialist psychologist talking. So it is really, really, really interesting. So yeah, that's Beth's story. So, you know, she'll never be fully recovered. Obviously, how do you?
Yeah.
How do you? And I mean, she's always going to remember her abuse, but also the abuse that she gave. Mm. And Jonathan will remember that as well.
Yeah.
Plus her parents, but they seem to be...
Do you know if they're close, her and Jonathan?
From what I read, I haven't written anything down, but I know from what I read, she's got a very good family unit now. She's got a really, really good life, actually. But it is, you
That's
know...
good, isn't it?
She really has turned this around, and I think, you know, again, without the support of her family, without all the intervention she had from the specialists and whatnot, it could have just gone so differently, and it would have ended in murder or something just completely awful. So
yeah, 100%, it could have ended so badly.
Although, like, her beginnings were just awful, awful, awful. I hate to use the term lucky because she wasn't lucky, but she was one of the lucky ones.
She was lucky
that
she got
the yeah,
that loved her.
Yeah,
because a lot of people would have given up on
yeah.
her.
Yeah, oh, for sure. For sure.
She's really lucky.
Yeah, in that respect. But she's done really, really well for herself. So well done to her.
I've got a numb bum while you make me sit on this wooden chair.
You're always moaning.
I have, and I don't want to move because you can hear it.
Yeah. That is the thing. Now we've got the microphone.
Oh, get it in again.
The microphone.
What have we got?
Microphone.
No fucking way.
There's a microphone.
No shit. That is a microphone.
But I'm afraid to bloody move or breathe now.
I'm trying to move, and it's always a disaster with us.
Yeah.
Something else has gone wrong.
It's just how we roll.
We're never going to be perfect.
Yeah. That was the case of Beth Thomas.
Unless someone's got a recording studio, they want us to go in for free.
Yeah, that's close to us.
Yeah,
or if
like
you want to pay for us to get one in our house.
Oh, yeah, we have got to buy me a coffee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I will link that on our Facebook. It's just to, if you want to show any support for us.
Yep, just, be much appreciated.
Buy us a coffee or a glass of wine.
We did have a nice message, a very nice message.
Have you got it?
I haven't got the actual message, but it was from Naomi. She's from Australia. Shout out. Hi, Naomi.
Hi, Naomi. You did send it to me, actually.
Yeah, I did.
I get a lot of nice messages on Instagram, to be fair.
I'm lying. She's called Nancy.
Fuck. Hello, Nancy.
Sorry, Nancy. Sorry.
That's why you should have read it out.
I should have read it out. Sorry, I'm doing it off memory. It is late. But no, thank you very much. It was really appreciated. She sort of just said, keep doing what you do. I know this is me saying it now. A lot of people don't love the swearing. Nancy's all for it. So
fuck yeah, Nancy.
Yeah.
Fuck
yeah. Love it, Nancy. But yeah, sometimes you got to swear with this sort of shit. There sometimes are no other words.
We don't care. No, we've had loads of nasty comment that makes.
Yeah, if you don't like it, don't listen. It's like, that simple.
Must be something wrong with us.
Yeah, like, I think we've got...
sure there's something wrong with the abusers.
Well, yeah. We've got to the point now where we just accepted we are what we are. If you don't like it, don't listen to us. We're not all about, like, you get so many comments like, you just do anything for likes. No, we don't.
No, actually.
We don't.
Yeah, yeah, we try and stay quiet.
Yeah.
Why do you think I've been off Facebook for so long? Fucking hell, man. Yeah, I'm scared to go on it, man. I just want to stay off it.
Come back, I'm no, lonely.
I will. As soon as I sort my new phone out, new microphone.
Nah. Now. All this newness.
Then I'll be back on it. I'll be back.
Yeah.
If you see a post from Jasmine Brent, that is me. You know it's that with me.
I did, yeah.
Because I'm signing on her Facebook and I was like, oh, I want to comment. But yeah, that is me. But yeah, I haven't watched that Casey Anthony documentary because I just feel like I know so much about the case and she's only doing it fucking... She so wants people to just
feel sorry for her. Yeah,
attention, man. Just all for
I've
attention.
Watched it and I other people have different views on it, but it just wound me the fuck up.
She's just such a dick. She's an absolute dick. I'm not being funny, right? Yeah. She was obviously she wasn't found guilty, okay? Fair enough, okay? Could they retry her? Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
If they found new evidence, have they found new evidence? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Did they say in this documentary? I don't know. But at the end of the day, she's blaming every fucker else but herself.
Yeah, and she's also doing the woe is me.
Yeah.
It's not about...
It's not about a daughter.
No.
I'm not being funny. If your daughter... If you lost your daughter for a month, you wouldn't be just sat on your ass doing nothing about it.
No.
Saying she's here, there and everywhere, making up lies.
And she does make loads of excuses up as well. You're just like, 100%. Fuck off,
even
love.
When she was in prison. Did they show any of it when she was in prison?
Don't think so.
She's such an asshole. Like, even her mum and dad would go to visit her and she'd be all about her.
Yeah.
And then they try and like be like, oh, so we've tried
to. It is. She tries to blame her dad a lot. Is it stepdad or an actual dad? I can't remember. She tries to blame him a lot.
Yeah, because they reckon she drowned in the pool and her and her dad covered it up, or her dad covered it up.
Yeah.
This is a story this was a story in court that they used to win the court case, basically. They said, wasn't her.
Yeah.
She drowned in the pool. Yeah. And her dad covered it up.
It's been so long since I watched it, but there's reasons why, because there's photos of her out after.
Oh, yeah.
She's got a million reasons of why that was.
Oh,
and
what, like going out, getting tattoos, living it large.
There was I wish I could remember. I wish it was more recently that I watched it. I get things mixed up with other cases, and I don't want to give the wrong information out.
Just go and watch it. But I will watch it.
Yeah, it will drive you absolutely bloody insane, though. I know you, and I know you will just want to hit the TV.
I know, she's a dick. She's an actual dick. Yeah. I don't like the girl. Guilty or not guilty, whatever. At the end of the day, you lost your kid for a month.
Yeah.
You didn't give a shit for a month.
Nah.
You were partying hard. But the worst about it is, it won't be funny, right? Not that her mum and dad is to blame, but like, her mum kept passing her where she was. Bear in mind, they'd see her normally every single day, right? Would you have left it a whole month?
I don't know. It's hard, isn't it? Because again, you want to trust your daughter and whatnot. But she did say this. Was it the nanny or the babysitter or somebody
was
had
the nanny?
Yeah,
they reckon that she was giving her Xanax to sleep.
No, but there was a lady, wasn't there, who she said had the daughter.
Oh yeah, there was an
she
actual
didn't.
Real Zenaya Gonzalez, or whatever her name was.
Something.
I'm sure it's something Gonzalez, and they actually tracked her down.
Yeah,
and
she was like, nope, didn't, not think, not clear.
The best bit though is when she said she worked at Universal Studios. They're like walking her around to the door. She's like, yeah, I didn't actually work here. They knew as well.
In this documentary,
like,
there's a lot of
so
backseat video recording her, and she's driving around, and you're just like, oh, just fuck off. Like,
why has she made this documentary? What has she got out of it?
Money, I would assume.
Yeah, apart from money.
She wants people to feel sorry for her, because she is that type of personality that thinks, well, I can still convince people.
Yeah.
I just got to, if I get enough airtime, I can convince people. They will believe me.
Believe her, though. There are people out there that do believe her.
Yeah, she has got a lot of supporters.
Yeah, which makes
not on our page, but
I know, it makes me even more angry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people that follow true crime and understand all the facts in the case don't support her.
No.
But the people that are just sort of like backseat, sort of just looked at her side of the
Read the headlines.
She's not guilty. And do you know what the worst thing about it is? If they would have processed that car properly, when they had chance to, it could have been different.
Different. Yeah.
Like, it's, there's so many things that the police could have done differently and they didn't.
Yeah. So many frustrating things about that case. number one for sure anything for me was her. She's like, ugh.
Oh, yeah, she's a dick.
Dickhead.
She's a dick. And do you know what, though? When people do podcasts about her, she listens and that. She loves it.
Does she?
Yeah, she gets all excited about it.
See,
then
that,
she go on fake
that
names
to me
and, like,
would
you.
Be sort of reliving a trauma.
I know. Yeah, no, I know. She doesn't give a shit. She's like a narcissist.
Oh, yeah, for sure. 110%.
She's like an absolute fucking weirdo.
Yeah. Yeah, complete narcissist, possible psychopath.
Yeah, literally. Literally. Yeah. She was like stealing stuff out of her mum and dad's garage. Like, this is while our daughter was missing. She'd go around and stealing like petrol and like food and stuff like that.
Also, for me, it was it a telephone guy or whatever, the guy that said there was this, her body, and he reported it so many times.
I know.
And it was ignored.
And when the police came and looked for it and he was trying to show them, they were like kicking stuff around and he was like,
I'm seen, hello.
And then they reckon that he was something to do with it because he found the body and he's like, I don't believe he had it. I just believe
he
was in one place for a long time. And good job he did find that body. And the worst of it is, he's like, she had duct tape round her mouth, man. Round her head.
And I think,
like, who the fuck does
that? Am I remembering rightly, the tape could be linked back to the garage.
Yeah, the tape could be linked back to her house, I think. But it could have been her dad.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. Yeah. That's what her lawyer, I can't remember who
it was in the garage where the car was kept or something like that.
Yeah, but what was his name? Her.
Oh, I barely remember your name.
He's done some high profile cases. What's his fucking name? He's a dick as well.
Let's call him Bob.
He's a fucking dick.
Bob's a dick.
I mean, he's good at his job. Don't get me wrong. I mean, if I ever get done for murder, I might hire him.
Right.
But I didn't call him a dick, right?
All right, okay.
Be like, no, I just went on about you. mistaken. You know, but yeah, anyway. So maybe we'll go on. Well, I said we'd go on Facebook, but I don't know if I have time now.
We still got to do two cases, haven't we?
I know.
Crikey, Moses.
So this will be coming out today, which is today.
Today, when we release it. We're recording it and releasing.
Then I've got two cases. One's a child case and the other one is Lucy Letby. So if I put it on Facebook, see what people want me to release it on, which one.
Okay.
Obviously, Lucy Letby one's nowhere near finished.
No.
I'm on like baby three.
Okay.
As far as I've got.
All right.
So it's a lot to go get me a 17 baby.
Yeah. I've stayed out of the Lucy Letby thing because I knew you wanted to cover it. So I've tried. I mean, obviously, I've seen a bit here and there because it's been
really
hard
good
to miss.
Podcast on it.
It's gone very quiet now, though, hasn't it? Like, not podcasts and stuff, but the actual news.
Maybe because what's happened is now her defence is up, they need headlines that are grabbing. If you haven't given her anything yet, I know she's been on the stand, which was very, I didn't think she was going to take the stand, but she has been on the stand for a long time. I mean, she was on the stand for like 4 or 5 days.
See, I was just aware of it because when it first came out, I was really trying not to look because, as I said, you were doing it. And I find it really hard not to see stuff. But now I don't come across it.
No, maybe. I don't know why it has gone quiet. I'm not sure. I would just say because the prosecution was sort of like, bam, this baby. So the headline would be like, you know, accused of doing this to these babies, accused of doing this to these babies.
I guess it is a long trial, and as callous as it sounds, it's hard to keep public interest.
Yeah, I do think people are interested because she is a nurse.
Yeah. I do think people are interested, but unless you have got sort of a passion for true crime, which isn't everyone.
No, yeah. My mum doesn't know a lot about it. And I'm like, mum, like, you've loved it. Like, the podcast I'm listening to, it's a Daily Mail podcast, and they've done an amazing job. They are flipping amazing. It's so well done, honestly.
Yeah,
like,
you've said that
I've
a
listened
lot.
To the comments. Like, I read the comments, and some of the comments are really harsh. And I'm like, I think it's really well done. They've done it really well. They've done it really, really well, I think. But that's obviously still ongoing.
Yeah.
And I'm only on baby three, so.
Well, we're all for credit where it's due, aren't we? And if you say they've done well, I believe
I think they've done well. You have to listen to it. After I've done my bit, you have to go and listen to the first, like, maybe four episodes. You can listen
to.
And then it'll be, like, up to baby. Just don't listen after baby three.
Okay.
But they do it baby A, B, and C.
Okay.
Baby C.
Okay.
So everyone stop listening after that.
Cool. Right, well, we're going to have to love you and leave you because we still got that to do. So
Much
take
love.
Care, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.